Welcome to this episode of the Circle of the Panda podcast. For the next few minutes, I would love for you to kind of listen in and see if you are seeing the same things I am these days that's happening around us. And I want to call it the universal language. And there are times when we get into situations to where you sense something's going on around you that you're supposed to learn and you don't know what it is. It could last months, years, whatever. Days, hours. But I've had that happen. I know I'm not the only one because I'm seeing more and more examples of this. Now, some people call these God winks or stacking or just coincidences or some thoughts that you can't shake, whatever the term is. Just like, you know, okay, I keep getting similar messages from different sources. What is going on here? And that's what I want to speak to. What became clear to me a few days ago on what was happening, and I heard this song on the radio by Hootie and the Blowfish. Now, I went to school with the lead singer, Darius Rucker. We graduated the same year from the University of South Carolina. Now, obviously, I know him, and he doesn't know me. Now, I would see his flyers around school, and it would say, you know, Hootie and the Blowfish playing in Five Points at this bar. I can't remember the names of the bar. It was this hangout, Five Points is this hangout down the hill from the University of South Carolina. So I'd see them all over the place, became a fan, always have been a fan. But I was doing doing my own thing in college when I was there. But I was listening to a song the other day. And again, all these things were going on around me. And in the song, he says something about the universal language. Now, I'm not going to give away the name of the song yet, but he's singing about the universal language. And then I go, okay, wait a minute. Here is what we are hearing. Here is what I am hearing. It's a demonstrations of the universal language. So that was the first thing. And then there was a thought in my mind that I could not shake. I have not been able to shake this one for months. And it was something that a friend of mine said when we were teaching pickleball to some senior citizens. And first time we'd ever done this together. And she said, you know what, if I had more opportunities to teach pickleball to this community, JD, she said this, my heart would be full. She said, my heart would be full. And since she said that, I've been thinking about that over and over and over again. It's a feeling that I cannot shake. So about three or four nights ago, I wake up middle of night. And I do this quite often with my wife. If something's bothering me, and I referenced it before, if something's bothering me, she'll take my hand and say, you know, let's pray together. Or if something's on my mind, I'll wake her up. The good thing is she goes back to sleep very quickly. But I woke her at middle of the night and I said, hey, Robin, my heart's full. Now, let me pause for a second on that. If you have ever had that feeling or even said that, my heart is full, it does something to you. It did something to me. It just, something all of a sudden changed. My heart was full. And then what happened was all these thoughts started just coming back to my head about these experiences I've had. So these things that I've been describing, they've been happening around me, started coming, rushing back in. My heart was full, and all of a sudden, some clarity happened. Things like this is when I was in a dark place and I was needing prayers, I get a text message. The very same day, I go, I need some help. I get a text message from a relative of mine that lives in Texas, and her daughter, beautiful, beautiful little girl, has a prayer jar. So that very day when I need it the most, I get a text message, and it was the little girl holding up my name, and it was an indicator that she was going to be praying for me that day, that evening. What was the choice? It was a universal language. I have a podcast guest on here, and you'll hear this often through the podcast guest as of late. That's a conservationist. And he said, you know, we got this artist together and we were looking for that one common thing, that common thread that we could all agree upon. And then later on in the conversation, he says, my grandfather used to say, when it comes to serving others, you're going to get a feeling back it's hard to describe. It's this great feeling. He said, be selfish about receiving that feeling you get when you serve others. It is the common thread. It's a heart that's full. It's saying, what is that one thing? It's the universal language. Recent guest I have, and it was probably one of the first times on a recording where I was having a conversation at the end. I was just tongue-tied. But he was describing his ministry, where he took the ministry into prison. And the effect of it is you see, even in San Quentin, some of the prisons that you see stories on TV about San Quentin. Never before have they had inmates play with staff members. The warden play with inmates. You have rival gang members playing pickleball against one another. What is happening? And I was tongue-tied at the end. And what I realized that was happening is it's the universal language that we're all wanting and we're all speaking and we all have a desire for. It was the magic. Conversation that followed shortly after that with a friend of mine that said, you know what? I got a phone call from a special need from a school for the special needs, neurodiverse, and one of their students had a meltdown, and in the middle of class, laid on the floor, had a meltdown, and had gone to the bathroom in his pants, and the teachers did not know what to do, so they called this friend, and when he went down, the student saw him, his demeanor changes, he felt care, he just there was a different kind of feeling. He saw my friend, his demeanor changed. My friend took care of him, took him in the restroom, and things changed. It was the universal language, what we all need, regardless of where we find ourselves. A conversation, again, a podcast conversation where someone in the missions field simply said this: I went to where I was serving in Haiti. And the first thing I did was say, what can I do to help? What can I do to serve? He was saying, I'm here to speak the universal language. And the way to best speak it is to find what the need is to ask the people I was engaging with the universal language. And then that's where the magic happened. Coffee conversation with a friend that went to Western North Carolina to help c take care of the victims from the hurricane damage. And when she said we showed up, we gave them supplies, and then we also said we are here to help you clean the mold out of your house, clean up the junk, whatever you need from us. The reaction she got from the people she was serving, the tears, the gratitude, the signs, the expression of, thank you so much. This is hard to describe the interaction you can get when you express that universal language. Someone I know right now that is out there that is taking care of a grandfather. When you take care of someone that's ill like that, and maybe even close to passing, you spend an awful lot of time in the house by yourself, listening, taking care of them. My first thought in my mind says, well, what happens is you somewhat put your life on hold. No, you don't put your life on hold. It is a season of providing the universal language to someone that has a great need. And there's their magic that happens in that. I'm starting to see some articles that are encouraging. And so there's a news outlet, a magazine that's put out that is often associated with making lots of money. Nothing wrong with making lots of money, but it's how you do it and what you do with it that matters. But they're often about wealth, making lots of money, regardless of how you make it. But they're starting to put out things like this. Quotes from them. It's not about how much you make. It's about how many people you serve. There's a shift happening. They're speaking the universal language. Are we seeing it? It's happening around us. Somebody I don't know that I set up a podcast with and we did a recording, and is one of the top triathletes in the world. I didn't know when I researched him what he was all involved in. But I said, you know what? I'm curious about what it takes to be one of those. I'm not going to be one, but my son has an aspiration to be. So I set up a recording and asked him this question. I said, how do you push through when it gets very tough in a race? I didn't say it that well, but he gently corrected me. I said something about hitting a wall. And I said, but how do you push through when it gets tough? And he said this, I think about the people that I'm trying to serve. He has a desire to raise awareness for cancer victims, raise money for cancer victims. So he says, when I'm racing and it gets tough, I remember the people that I'm trying to serve or that I'm serving. It's a universal language. It's a universal language. And then just a few examples that he hit even closer to home. My best friend, and this is one of the names I'm actually going to mention, his name Khaled. We could not be more different. Our backgrounds could not be more different. Our belief systems could not be more different. But there's one thing that we do share, and we've shared it since we met in high school, and that is the universal language. I can't explain why. I don't always know why, but he is one that will always know that he's as close as a brother as you can get to me. And if there's a need, I'm there. And if I have a need, he's there. And that is something that you go, time has changed, time has passed, but that one simple thing will not change. And it's a universal language that makes every single difference fade. I want to mention the first time I saw my best friend's wife, Roseanne. And that's another situation where no matter how much time passes, I always view Roseanne as a sister, like a sister of mine. And I remember the first day I saw her. And it's one of those things, as I go through these examples, there's certain images that you don't forget. And we were at a tennis tournament. I was with tennis tournament with Colin, and up walks Roseanne. And I said, Colin, who in the world is that? I didn't know at the time. I'd never seen her before, so I didn't know who it was. But she was shining this light. When she entered, and she's going to be so embarrassed that I even mentioned this, but sometimes people need to know that they're shining that. Said, Colin, who is that? She's shining that light. He said, that's my new girlfriend. It's Roseanne. Now, there's another reason why I mention this. It's because what I saw was not defined by the traditional male looking at an attractive female. It was not that. It was something different. There was none of that. It was just there is this light that she is bringing. There is this light that some people are bringing that are tra that's transcending something. It is the universal language. And I saw it too in experience. The last example here is I went to a pickleball tournament, the national championship pickleball tournament over a year ago. And we went and shared an Airbnb with some people that I knew a couple of them, I would say, fairly well, because I played a fair amount of pickleball with them, but there were some that I didn't know and I just met, but I just didn't know them well at all. But we had experience there. And when I posted something not too long ago, I noticed in the group text that somebody had said, something happened in Dallas and we're not sure what. I wasn't sure what until recently, and it was a universal language. When we were in Dallas together, there was one place and point in time where we danced, we sang, we played pickleball together, we became as if we were nine again. There was no viewing anybody about what they had, what they didn't have, how attractive they were, and how or unattractive they were, or any of that, how well they played or didn't play. There was none of that. We became nine again. And to the point where all we saw and all we understood is that we were just enjoying our time together. And everything else faded. It was the universal language. And the universal language is love. The universal language is love. It's what every single one of us desires, not love that says, I expect this from you in order for me to give it. Or you have to look or sound or act like. It is an expression of love, and it's a universal language. And it is the common thread in every one of these situations that I'm mentioning. It just is a different kind of expression based on the situation. So when I realized that a couple of days ago, I started my usual. I went, oh, wow. What if more people felt that way? What if we brought more people together? What if we shined the light? What if we did this? What if we built something that was going to spread more of this? Typical for me of trying to figure out what it means and what I'm supposed to do with it. And then I paused and I said this, wait a minute. Instead of thinking what I should do so others can receive it or get the blessings or see the common thread, I stopped and said, here is what's most important. I stopped and said this out loud. I'm extremely grateful that I was able to receive these examples. Thank you so much for that. Today, I feel blessed, and today, I feel a deep sense of gratitude. Thank you. And with that, my heart became full again. And when my heart became full again, the magic started again and it became a cycle. But it all started with that. Thank you very much for what you have shown me that's going on around me. Thank you very much for those expressions of love. I'm grateful. My heart is full.